Right now, we're going to head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline and welcome on college football analyst, man about town, the great Danny Cannell.
And Danny Cannell is courtesy of betonline.ag. Check out BetOnline for the updated college football playoff, conference, Heisman, and college football week 3 lines.
Danny, welcome to the show, buddy.
How are we doing this afternoon, man? I liked your rants conversation. I am not a huge rants guy, so I can't really relate. When I have buffalo wings, you know how they give you rants or blue cheese? Mm-hmm. I am solidly in the blue cheese camp, so not a huge rants guy.
So I lean ranch, but I've never made a bad decision there. I think blue cheese is pretty darn stout as well. So what happened is, I can't keep even the big bottle that you get at like the store, like the $7 bottle. I can't keep it in my house because my kids love it with their veggies, and then I have to have it for my dietary fat. So like, we can't keep it stocked. So I went to one of the big stores and got a gallon size, and my wife has treated me like I'm a common criminal all week. She's disgusted that I would have that much ranch in one bottle. She's like, where are we going to put it? I'm like, that's what the fridge is for.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm sure, like my wife, she probably likes, that's her space, likes to have it, you know, her things in order and doesn't like stuff taking up, you know, a lot of room. So I get it. That's quite the conundrum you're in, though.
You know, these things happen. This is the tough stuff about being an adult there, Danny. We haven't had it on air yet, and we're going to have it out at some point. My producer thinks Ohio State's level of dominance is boring and that there's something to be said about being a lesser team like Michigan and having more competitive games. What say you?
I mean, if you're Ohio State and you've watched your rival Michigan win 3 Big Ten titles and you watched them win a national championship, I don't think you're too worried about competitive games right now, right? You're just worried about, hey, we're having, it's great right now. All that money that you spent on that roster looks to be paying off. I don't think you care anything. You don't want to sweat anything. That'll happen October 12th in Eugene. So, like, I think now it's all good. Like, the party's on. You're really enjoying yourself. So, I think Ohio State fans are just fine right now where they are.
Danny, how do you look at the early returns on Will Howard in this Chip Kelly offense?
It's really hard to tell. He's looked great. Like, he's looked solid. But we haven't seen him against top-tier competition. And he may not. Like, I know they have Michigan State. They've got a couple of Big Ten games. But this team is so good that, you know, you don't need him to play great against a lot of these teams. And you're probably not going to need him to play great until that Oregon game against Michigan and then the Big Ten championship game and Penn State. You know, like, those are the games that you would circle and say, that's why we paid him to come here. That's why he's our quarterback. So it's hard to get a real feel because there haven't been any high-pressure situations like third downs. I got to have it. And even if you have a third down or a fourth down where you go for it, they've been so dominant that if you don't get it, it's no big deal. You'll get them the next time. Defense will get a stop, maybe even a pick six, and, like, you're golden. So I really don't know if you'll truly tell if Will Howard is all that he's cracked up to be until you get some of that top-tier competition.
So are you surprised at how good Kyle McCord has looked 2 games into his stint at Syracuse?
Yes, I am. And, oh, man, this is today's college football world. Like, right? Is there buyer's remorse on Will Howard and some regret for letting Kyle McCord go? I'm sure some Ohio State fans are thinking that. And boy, if Will Howard does struggle on the road against Oregon and potentially loses the game, and Kyle McCord, who is leading the country in touchdown passes with 8, oh, my goodness, could you imagine that dynamic? He's played really good. I always thought he was a really good quarterback. He's playing in probably the most pressure-packed place that you could have in all of college football. And there was some regression to the offense. But you know what he played like to me? He played like a quarterback that was in his first year as a starter. And, like, that's the one thing I look at and say, man, if he would have had another year, Chip Kelly, and I know he hasn't brought in an entirely new system. He's just tweaking it, but the terminology is the same. I do think Kyle McCord would have played much better. And that'll be a debate that rages on throughout this season because, you know, what would have been if Kyle McCord had stayed? And, of course, if he had started off rough and, you know, against Georgia Tech, if he had 3 picks instead of 3 touchdowns, then it's like, ha-ha, we made the right decision. But this is really interesting. It's almost like in the NFL where you see number 1 and number 2 overall draft picks, and you could have had this guy and you went in this direction, or in free agency. you know, the, like, what would have happened if you would have taken this quarterback, which is a unique dynamic, which we have not really seen unfold this much in college football before.
Danny, Jeremiah Smith might have had the best weeks one and two of any freshman wide receiver in Ohio State history, which is pretty impressive considering the NFL wide receivers that have graced the halls, and certainly even young guys and, you know, first-time guys making impacts their freshman year, certainly a wide receiver. But how many more games before the Heisman hype, before we've got to start Heisman hyping Jeremiah Smith?
So preseason, you know, Will Howard was a Heisman candidate. The both backs, Travion Henderson, Quinchon are Heisman candidates. Nobody really was talking about Jeremiah Smith as a Heisman candidate. I still think it'll be tough to win it with all the talent that's around him. That being said, I am pretty floored with how dominant he's looked. And I work at CBS, which is part of, you know, 24/7 Sports, who does all the high school recruiting. They set the rankings, 4 and 5 stars. I had talked to some of my friends who work there, and I usually lean on them. I don't do a lot of high school scouting. You know, I just don't have time. I'm watching college football. And they had told me, like, look, this guy's really special. They're like, you know, generational type talent. And I hear that, and I'm like, yeah, all right, we'll keep an eye on it, but let's see. Let's see what happens when, you know, the lights are on. Because we've seen other guys portrayed as that, and they don't live up. They fall well short of expectations. But in through two games, he has looked every bit the part of the number one player coming out of high school. And the thing that's probably helped him the most is the fact that he's been able physically to go toe-to-toe. Because there's a lot of guys that are fast that, you know, they have trouble getting off a jam, or they can't handle the physicality of this level. I mean, he has zero issue in that department. He's had zero issue catching balls that are 50-50 balls. He has been every bit the part. I know Julio Jones has been a name that they've brought up to compare him to. I went back even further and went with Randy Moss, who was at Florida State with me my senior year. He was a redshirt before he transferred to Marshall. He actually got kicked out of Florida State. And I remember, you know, Randy Moss was one of the most dominant players I've ever played with. And I get very serious, like, Randy Moss vibes, Julio Jones vibes with Jeremiah Smith, where he is off to a phenomenal start. If he keeps up this pace, he will play himself to New York City.
Danny, Ohio State has a bye this weekend. Then Marshall on the 21st. I was at Michigan State on the 28th. And then the final tune-up before Oregon is in Columbus against Iowa. Any of those three teams do you think can make this interesting for Ohio State and get them a little sharper heading into that Oregon matchup?
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point, because I'm like, as good as it is to blow people out, you do want to get a little battle tested, right, before you go into the ultimate battle against Oregon. So I don't think so. Like, I think they'll be double-digit favorite easily, probably close to 2 touchdowns and maybe even 3 against both of those teams. But I'll try to sell you on how they could be close. Aiden Childs, the quarterback from Michigan State, he just went to Maryland and he threw 3 touchdowns. He also had 3 picks, but he is an incredibly talented player that can provide some problems, like he could, for Ohio State's defense. But I think it'll be too much. I don't think he's there. Kirk Ferentz, Iowa's defense is always really good, but their offense, which was showing signs of life, boy, did they collapse in the second half of the Iowa State game, blowing the lead, couldn't do anything. So I wish I could tell you that one of these will be close and the game will be compelling. I just don't see it happening in those games. So I do think they'll be winning pretty comfortably all the games before they go to Eugene.
What kind of psychopaths are driving around you right now?
Oh, my gosh. You don't even know. Like, I didn't know if you guys could hear it. I feel like I'm in New York City. I'm just in South Florida, and I'm trying to get to my daughter to pick her up from practice, and everyone's freaking out. I'm about to have some road rage and just be like, what are you beeping at? There's nowhere to go. I can understand if I was obnoxious because I am a bad driver. We're just sitting here, and there's some people that are upset that somebody didn't go through the light in front of us. I apologize for the beeping that's going on. I think we've got through it, though. I think we've reached the peak frustration here in the road raging streets of South Florida.
I will say that people in Florida are incredibly impatient at lights. I noticed that when I've been down there. Two, of course you're bad at driving. You live in Florida. And then three, you don't understand. We're taking this in a positive direction, Danny, because Ross Tucker was with us at 4, and he was in a bathroom where people kept flushing toilets. So I will take people honking the horn as opposed to hearing people use the commode. This is we're in the right direction here, bud.
Yes, at least there's not flushing going on right now, so we made it through it. So that's all good.
Auburn's quarterback Peyton Thorne says bettors have asked him for his money back. I don't know how to phrase this any other way. Do you believe him?
I do. I've gotten Venmo'd for, you know, some smart aleck fan who lost a bet that I had backed and said, hey, send me $10 to pay off my bet. But I do think this is only going to get worse with the prevalence of gambling, with, you know, people having access, players on social media where they're easily accessible. That's why if I was a quarterback in college, there is zero chance I would have social media. I just wouldn't do it. I'd maybe have an account. I would have somebody else run it. I wouldn't check it at all. But I absolutely believe him, and especially at Auburn. Those fans are nuts. He had 4 interceptions in the game. I'm sure it's been a really long week for him, and I think this is probably he's not the first and certainly not the last that will get these type of requests from crazy fans. Can I tell you a quick story? Because I know it's changed a lot. We're going back to the 90s. I'm an old man. When I had my first big start on the road at Miami playing the Hurricanes, we were both in the top 10. We were playing on the national stage. It was my first big game. We were 4-5-0, had blown out opponents, just feeling really good. I play awful. 3 interceptions at the Orange Bowl. I get benched in the fourth quarter, clearly the reason why we lost that game. And then I get back, we fly back to Tallahassee, and I went to my answering machine. This is how old I am. I hit play. There's like 10 messages. Half of them are like my mom saying, are you okay, sweetie? Like, are you okay? The other half are irate fans cursing me out, telling me my scholarship should be taken away, and like just ripping me a new one. So you know what I did? I went and unlisted my number. I had to block, you know, make sure no one else could have access to it because I was kind of unknown. Like, I was just the first time. You really do have to insulate yourself from fans because they won't hold back if you don't play well, especially in today's game.
Did you also get rid of the how many voice messages or answering machine messages before you stopped listening?
Oh, I listened to them all, and here's the thing: I think I only had room for like 5 minutes, so it was full. I don't even want to know how many people called and they got the whole you can't get through because the tape is full that you pulled out of there. So thankfully, but yeah, I listened to all of them. I was devastated. I did one of those things where you use it as motivation, but I'm not a fan of that anymore. You know, I know some people like to use the chip on the shoulder. I'm going to use this. Man, the negativity goes way, it hurts way deeper than somebody saying, hey, nice game. Like, you kind of brush that off. When you play bad and people rip on you, it can really mess with you mentally. And I've noticed that big time across college football. With the more exposure and the more money these players are paid, I'm seeing a lot of players that their confidence is absolutely shot, and I think some of it's because of the amount of criticism and scrutiny they're under at their respective schools.
Danny, who's in bigger trouble right now, Michigan or Notre Dame?
Notre Dame. I don't even think it's close. Although, I shouldn't say that because Notre Dame, I mean, as far as the playoffs are concerned, like Notre Dame, I think their chances are done. I just do. I think that loss is a devastating loss. They were a 28-point favorite. They lost. It was at home. It just was not pretty. Now, the saving grace would be their schedule because their schedule is pretty manageable. They still have Florida State, who's not that good this year. They do have USC on the road, which would be a nice resume builder. They have Louisville. We'll see how Louisville is. But their schedule is manageable, but they've got bigger issues than just the schedule. They got to figure out what's going on the field. Similarly to Michigan, I still think Michigan may just have run into a juggernaut. I think Texas is that good. Similar to what I saw with Georgia and what they did to Clemson, everybody was all up in arms about Clemson. Clemson bounced back and had a huge win against App State. I think Michigan, they clearly have to figure out quarterback. I think they need to stick with one instead of rotating them through. But I think their defense is still good enough to win a lot of ball games for them while they figure out the quarterback position. I think that game might have been in Texas as a legitimate national champion, you know, contender.
Danny, Alabama, Wisconsin, we got some love for Luke Fickell for his ties to the Buckeyes. Feels like a big one for him. But Wisconsin is 16-point dogs at home this weekend. Is that a deceiving line, or is this about to be a one-sided ass-kicking?
I am terrified of this line, to be honest with you. Like, I always love a home dog, and I love that big number. And if I was forced to pick one, I probably would take the Badgers just on principle with a line that big. Thing about Bama, and this is where I think you could find value where it might be a little bit inflated, Bama has not played great in their first two games. Against South Florida, they were very much in a dogfight. Like, this game was close. Their offense had six drives in a row with three and outs. Like, six in a row with Jalen Milroe and all that talent, and they could not move the ball in South Florida. Now, they scored 28 points in the fourth quarter to really make the scoreboard look like it was a much different game. So I think they're vulnerable. I think they're gettable. The only problem is Wisconsin's been off to a little bit of a bumpy start, too. Tyler Van Dyke, the transfer from Miami, he's been okay. Their defense has been okay. But maybe they've been holding some things back. Maybe they could be able to exploit a secondary, which has struggled somewhat. So I think that maybe Wisconsin, they've got to play the game of their life. The magnitude, just they cannot let Jalen Milroe beat them with his legs. That's the thing they cannot allow to happen. If they contain him, I think they've got a chance to cover this thing. But Jalen Milroe scares me because he is so incredibly athletic.
The Colorado ass kicking by Nebraska was obvious. It was domination on both sides in the trenches. How slippery is the slope for Deion with Colorado there, year two, coming off what was, I mean, Nebraska's not exactly Alabama right now.
No, they're not. And they're at a completely different place as a program than Colorado, which is kind of crazy because they are the same coaching class, right? Matt Rhule, inherited a program that was in shambles somewhat. And they, and he's been able to develop players instead of, totally turning over the roster and bringing in a zillion new players. He went to the recruiting portal, recruiting game, and he got Dylan Raiola, the top quarterback in the country, and we've seen the dividends that has paid. And then you've seen Colorado for the second year in a row try to churn more than half the roster, and it just hasn't worked really well for Colorado. And they are on the verge of becoming irrelevant, which is something that I think really concerns Coach Prime, because he's somebody who loves that attention, loves being the center of conversation. But at some point, it's got to be about more than flash, and they have to have some substance. And so far, they have not delivered very much substance since last year, losing six games straight to finish the season and not getting even close against Nebraska. It has been a disastrous start for them. So they are on the verge of irrelevance in college football and what feels like a must-win against Colorado State, which, by the way, I do think they win and cover that game against Colorado State. If they don't, boy, I tell you, I don't know how well that locker room is going to be able to handle that type of adversity.
Danny, hit him with the double deuces on your way home. Stay safe, buddy. Great stuff.
You got it. Always great catching up. We'll see
you. Thank you so much. Danny Cannell there on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
And Danny was courtesy of betonline.ag. Check out BetOnline for updated college football playoff, conference Heisman, and college football week 3 odds.
The idea that people should be bored with Ohio State's dominance, or that somehow it's inferior to, like, Texas struggling, Michigan struggling to start the season.
No, that's not the case I'm making. I'm making the case of if you dominate a team, like, in conference, like some of these other, like Maryland or Purdue or whatever, but I just feel it's boring to dominate the Akrons of the world. Like, we know they're terrible. The conference schedule is why they're doing this. They're not going to schedule a bunch of meaty games at the top end of the schedule. But when you don't have a huge challenge off, like, in the conference this year outside of Oregon and maybe Penn State, we'll see what Michigan is at the end of the year. I'm not convinced that they're going to beat Ohio State this year. But they don't really have a challenge outside of, like, Oregon and maybe Penn State in the conference schedule. So, like, you're not getting those week in and week out in the conference like you might in the future. So this year, I think it's just a special circumstance. I just feel like if you even look at the college schedule this week, there's not a whole lot of games to stand out. It's not Ohio State. It's a lot of other teams are doing that same thing.
So
I just feel like if you're dominating the teams within the conference, that's one thing. It's when you're dominating the lesser conference opponents at the beginning of the season, it's just kind of boring to me. Like, you're going to win that game 70-0. It's not even that fun to watch, really.
I actually think I strike that and reverse it for me. Where it gets boring to me is when you put 60 up on Maryland. What gets boring to me
That's true domination, because you know that they're a higher talent than Akron. Like, they have more athletes and stuff. If you do that, that's more impressive.
But the gap between, let's say, I don't want to say Purdue, but I'm trying to think of a bad Big Ten team.
Indiana.
Okay.
Rutgers.
Rutgers is actually pretty good. What are you talking about, Mac?
Yeah, I would step that back. That's a good historical weak spot. But no, I actually kind of like, I actually said on the Sons of the Shoe podcast, which you can get everywhere, that I'm kind of glad Rutgers isn't on the docket this year, because I kind of think they're actually better this year than we were last year. And remember, that was actually a relatively close game for most of that game with Rutgers. But I digress. I think the gap between Indiana and Western Michigan isn't as significant as the gap between Indiana and the teams that you're going to be playing in the playoffs. Like, yes, it's dressed up because it's the Big Ten. But I, and again, we're talking about the best team or the second best team in the MAC versus the worst team of the Big Ten. But like, I don't think playing Indiana, like ultimately, if I were the Big Ten commissioner, I'd start bouncing people out of this conference. I would gladly take Virginia, and Virginia's rough because they have not been Virginia for a minute, but Virginia Tech, who has also not been Virginia Tech for a minute, Clemson, Miami, North Carolina. I would take those teams. I would, or Miami, Florida State. I would take the elite programs of the ACC at the expense of getting rid of Indiana, getting rid. Rutgers tough because, again, Shiano does have them in a good spot. But, like, it's so funny, man. We talk all the time about the problem in baseball, that there are weak-ass owners that are pocketing dough, right? Like, because of the way finances work in baseball, and this is an accusation that's been made against the Dolans. I don't necessarily agree with that. But in Pittsburgh, certainly, where there's no incentive to spend the money to be good enough consistently, so you just kind of end up mired in mediocrity because you just enjoy making money while not, and the novelty of owning a baseball team. That's what's happening with 30% of the Big Ten right now. And that doesn't mean those teams don't spend any money, but compared to what they make, like, Indiana isn't all in on football the way Ohio State is. Trying to go, Maryland, God bless them. They're not all in. Northwestern, they're not all in. Like, you start to look at some of the lesser teams in the Big Ten, and I get it, they're founding charter member. At what point are people going to wake up and say that maybe some of these teams don't belong in the Big Ten and that you can benefit from better brands and better football schools in there? And I realize I did just say North Carolina is that's a better brand situation. So I digress, getting back to it. I wish the Big Ten were tougher. Like, I think Oregon and USC and, I mean, UCLA hasn't done anything for a while. Washington was great last year. I think they might be, I'm not sure they're going to be as good this year. But, like, those three of those four programs are as good as half of the Big Ten. And Oregon, along with Michigan, along with sometimes Wisconsin, along with sometimes another school or two, Penn State certainly belongs in this conversation. Oregon gives you another real contender. So that's where I'm at. Like, I don't care about playing Akron. It's good for Akron. They get the money. They get a little exposure. They get to be on TV. Yeah, they get boat raced. But again, if it helps the bottom line, good for them. Western Michigan, same thing. Marshall, same thing. It's when I have to look at Michigan State. Now, this is rare because Michigan State's in a rare blind spot. I have to look at Michigan State and say, you're going to offer no resistance. That's not about Ohio State dominance. It's about Michigan State sucking. And beyond that, like Iowa. Iowa is content with 8-win Kirk Ferentz because you don't have to pay him anymore. You can pay him the peak of what he's going to get paid, and you know he's not going to bottom out and have a 1-win season. So that's where my frustration is. Like the dominance against Akron and Western Michigan, no, it's just the preseason. I can handle that, but it's preseason that counts. So they can be a work in progress. I get so frustrated. The dominance gets boring to me. Once you get into, hey, you get to go play Minnesota, who's going to lose by 30 points. And Minnesota shouldn't have cut astray there. You're going to go play Illinois. And I know they're 2-0-2 for now. You're going to play Illinois, who hasn't won a damn thing in 20 years. That is worse. Agree to disagree, Keith.
Well, I mean, I just would have liked to see, like, you have three of these games to start the season. And you look at the first couple of weeks of the college football season and had all these big matchups. Wouldn't you have enjoyed being part of it? It doesn't guarantee you're going to lose a game. You might win one of those games. Like, wouldn't you like to have played in Oklahoma or somebody like week two or week three of the season?
I mean, they have. They've done Virginia Tech.
I know they have, but I'm just saying, like, when your conference schedule set up the way that it did this season, it just compounds it when you play, like, three teams that you know you're just going to beat 70 to nothing to start the season. Like, there's zero excitement other than to watch some of the young guys like Jeremiah Smith and the new guys like Will Howard and the guys in the backfield. Like, I don't know, like, Quinshon Judkins, is it that much enjoyment winning a game 70 to nothing when those guys barely play in the second half?
Yeah. I think fans would take.
Fans love to see those guys plays. I know that. And they get excited because they think the team's really good. We all knew the team was good, but it's kind of boring. You're sitting there in the second half, like, it's kind of like watching an NFL preseason game.
I think you're thinking like a media member trying to analyze something that shouldn't be analyzed because it's a cakewalk. I understand what you're saying, though.